This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, I just want to start with two introductory remarks. First of all, this shiur is dedicated to the refuah of Rafal Ben Yetta, who needs a refuah shlema, and he, Pesach Shachar Yisrael, should have a refuah. I also want to thank Rav Osher Chaim Levine. I think what he has set up in this short period of time is quite astonishing. Kol hakavod to him. And he should continue to do all the amazing work that he does. So I've prepared a shiur, which I gave in school on Thursday. I think it's an important shiur, and it gives a bit of Torah perspective and a bit of encouragement during these very challenging times. The Gemara says in Chulin Daf Tzadi Aleph Amud Beis. If you've got the sheet, then take a look. Otherwise, it's not a problem. Says the Gemara in Chulin Daf Tzadi Aleph Amud Beis. Omer Rabbi Akiva. Sha'alti es Rabbi Gamliel ves Rabbi Yeshua be'itlis shebimim. Rabbi Akiva says, I asked Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua be'itlis shel imum in the meat market of a place called Imum. Excuse me, I'm just admitting more people. Says Rabbi Akiva, I went to the meat market of Imum and I asked Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua the following question. What were they doing there, says the Gemara? Sheholchu likach behema lemishta b'nei Shur Rabbi Gamliel. They went to buy an animal because Rabbi Gamliel's son was getting married. So therefore they were online and they were waiting to buy meat. They were making a wedding. And therefore they went to buy meat and Rabbi Akiva went to ask them a question. What was the question that he went to ask them? Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, Vayizrach loy hashemesh. When Yaakov Avinu, after 36 years of fighting, of running away from Esau, the Pasuk says that he went back to get the Pachan Katanim. And he went back, and as he was battling, as he went back to get these Pachan Katanim, he found the Malach of Esau, and he engaged in battle the entire night. And then, as before the dawn rose, the Pasuk says, "Vayizrach le'ashemesh." The sun rose; the sun shone for him. So says the Gemara. Rabbi Kiva asked them, "V'chi shemesh le'levad zarcha?" What does it mean, "Vayizrach le'ashemesh"? The sun shone for him. Surely, the sun shines for the whole of humanity. That's not appropriate to say the sun shone for him. What does it mean? "V'halil le'kol ha'olam zarcha?" Answers the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. Shemesh haba ba'avurai, zorcha ba'avurai. The sun which set for him, shone for him. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, it says in Bereishis Kafches, in Parshas Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva Vayelech Harano. And the Gemara explains that what happened was, Yaakov Avinu, 36 years earlier, was running away from Esau. He had just got the brachas. Remember the story? He had just got the brachas. He was running away from Esau, who was out to kill him. And he passed the place of the Migdash. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to daven there. This is the place where we've all stood at the Kotel and pouring out our hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he went past it. So in order to stop him, to make sure that he would daven in this place, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the sun set early. And that's exactly what happened. Now, if you're out and about, in the middle of the forest where there's no natural town light, if the sun sets, you're going to have to stop. It's too dark to continue. So Yaakov Avinu was forced to stop because the sun set prematurely. And Vayizrach lo yashemesh, the sun set for him. 36 years later, after going to the Yeshiva Shein Be'eva for 14 years, after working for Rochem and Leah for 14 years, building a family, etc., etc., he now is going to encounter again once Esau. And when he sees Esau the night before, he gets his pachan katanim. The pasuk says, "Vayizrach le'ashemesh." The sun shone for him. Let's say it was going to rise at 6 a.m. in the morning. In the whole night, he was fighting the malach. So at 4 a.m., "Vayizrach le'ashemesh," i.e., on account of Yaakov Avinu, the sun rose early. Okay, so therefore the Gemara has answered the question. The Akiva goes to the meat market of Imam and says, and says to Rabbi Gamliel and Rishu, who were there to buy the meat for Rabbi Gamliel's son's wedding, the Gemara says that he went to ask the question, why did he say Vayizrach LaShemesh? The answer is because it was on account of Yaakov Avinu, because 36 years previously, the sun set early, and therefore the sun is going to rise prematurely to compensate the sunshine. Okay. I've got a few questions on this Gemara. They're not my questions. I heard this, what I'm about to share, this short extract from Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau many years ago. He came to London in 1996. It was for an encounter conference. And he said something amazing. There are questions on this Gemara. When you learn a piece of Gemara like this, you've got to ask the following. Number one, the Gemara is not a storybook. The Gemara is not telling me something which is not critical to understand. Why does the Gemara have to tell me that Rabbi Akiva asked this question in the meat market of Immam? He could have asked this question in the Beis HaMedrash. Second question, what is the significance of the fact that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua were buying meat for the wedding of Rabbi Gamliel's son? What difference does it make? Third of all, why, if Rabbi Akiva was going to ask this question, you know, he's bothering Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, they're about to make a wedding, they're going there, meeting the caterer, they're buying the meat. Why does Rabbi Akiva, why can't he just wait until the following morning? And if he's going to go and bother them, it's so pressing, you'd have expected, you'd hope that Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua would give an answer. But that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says the answer is given by Rabbi Yitzchak. Who's Rabbi Yitzchak? So we've basically got four questions. Four questions on this Gemara. Number one, what is the significance of the fact that this dialogue took place in the meat market of Immam? Question number two, what is the significance of the fact that Gamliel and Rishua are buying meat for the wedding of the son of Gamliel? What difference? Why did Rabbi Akiva answer the question himself? Did he get an answer to his question? And number four, why couldn't Rabbi Akiva wait until Rabbi Gamliel and Yeshua were in the Beis HaMedrash? Why did he have to go and bother them now? Okay, so those are the questions that we can ask. The answer to all these questions is this, and this is such a powerful and timely message for the crazy times that we're living in. It's very important to understand the historical context of any Gemara that you learn. Rabbi Gamliel lived in a time of tremendous difficulty. He lived before Churban Bayis Sheni, he lived during the Churban, and he lived post the Churban. Rabbi Akiva is the exemplar of optimism and of resilience. Rabbi Akiva saw a Churban. Rabbi Akiva has this ability to rise above any challenge and to demonstrate tremendous tenacity and faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. For example, the Gemara says in Yevamos, the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 students and they all died in a period of a very short period of time. And the Gemara says that Ad Shebo Rabbi Akiva etzer Abaseinu Shebedarim v'shon alahem Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yisra, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Rosman, Shamu, etc., etc. But heim, heim, the Torah, Oysa Shah. They rebuilt Torah in this time. Now that's an amazing thing. Think about any other person. He's seen his whole yeshiva decimated. He's seen a terrible tragedy, Talmidim no longer. And he's able to stand up, dust himself off, pick himself up, and start over. That is remarkable resilience. The Gemara says, for example, we're coming up to Pesach. So the Gemara says, the Haggadah tells us, Maisa Rabbi Eliezer. Remember that? Maisa Rabbi Eliezer. All the Mefarshim ask a question. The question is, this is a Maisa that takes place in Bnei Brak. This is an incident, a story that takes place in Bnei Brak. And Farshim asks, why in Bnei Brak? That's Rabbi Akiva's house. Why is this taking place in Bnei Brak? Surely the Talmud goes to the Rebbe's house, not the Rebbe to the Talmud. So the Aruch HaShulchan in his Pirush on the Haggadah says a remarkable thing. He says that, if you can imagine, the people were not in the mood to celebrate Pesach. They weren't in the zone. Imagine, for example, a DP camp. You've just seen terrible devastation. You've just seen pain. You've just seen the whole world turn upside down. They're not in the mood to celebrate Pesach. there's only one person in the world that they can go to who is going to put them into the mood, who is going to give them the encouragement and the chizuk which they desperately need. That's Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva always sees the silver lining in every cloud. And therefore, these giants, they go to Rabbi Akiva's house for Pesach, and they sit there in the cellar. Why are they in a cellar? Because they're all hiding from the Romans. These are terrible times. But there's one person who can make them enjoy Seder, who can experience the Pesach as it should be experienced. For example, the Gemara says in Yuma, Daf Pei Amud Beis, the Gemara says that they came to Rabbi Akiva after the Churban, and they said, Rabbi Akiva, this is a Yom Kippur. We remember Yom Kippur of old. We remember the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash, the majesty of the Avodah, the Levium doing their beautiful Avodah, the glory and of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, the singing of the Levium. We remember what Yom Kippur was like, and this is Yom Kippur. You've got to sit in shul all day, that's it. Says Rabbi Akiva to in Yuma, Pehem Beis, you're right. But Ashreichem Lifi Yisrael, Lifnei Miatem Metarim. There's still a silver lining to every cloud. We still have Yom Kippur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still going to forgive us. And you see this time and time again. Rabbi Akiva has this remarkable tenacity to see the good in every situation. To be mechazek, perhaps the most famous one, is the Gemara in the end of Makkos. The Gemara in the end of Makkos tells the story where Rabbi Akiva, Rav Gamliel, and Yeshua, they're all walking on Har HaBayis. And they see a fox emerge from the Mokum of the Kodesh Kedoshim. This is the place, the holiest place in the world, where the holiest man, the Kohen Gadol, would enter once a year on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year. And now a fox roams on the ruins of the Kodesh Kedoshim. So naturally, they all start crying, of course. And Rabbi Akiva laughs. So they say to him, why are you laughing? And he says, why are you crying? We're crying because Shu'alim Hilchubay. And they say back to him, then why are you laughing? And he explains famously that he connects the two Nevuahs, the Nevuah of the Shu'alim Hilchubay to Oyd Yeshu Zakenim Zakena. It's that beautiful pasuk. The pasuk which I'm sure we all think about when we go to the old city. We walk in the Rava and we see old men and women sitting on the benches, children playing. Yelodim, Yelodis, Mesachakos. What a beautiful pasuk. It's almost a fulfillment of these words. So he was able to connect the two again to give a silver lining into every situation. And indeed, they say to him, Akiva Necham Tonu, Akiva Necham Tonu. You see that Rabbi Akiva is the epitome of someone who has resilience, who is positive, who sees the good in even a desperate situation. Let's go back to our Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin, what were the questions we asked? Why on earth, what is the significance this is taking place in the meat markets in Immum and the meal of Yeshua making a wedding? The answer is this. What is going on over here is that they were not in the mood to make a wedding. This is post-Churban. Life is desperate. And Rabbi Akiva was going over to them not to ask a question. If it was a stomach question, he could have waited till the next day in the base of Medrash. He went to not to ask a question, but to teach a lesson. What was the lesson he wanted to teach? The lesson he wanted to teach was that of Rabbi Yitzchak, i.e., the lesson was Shemesh Habo Bavura Zocher Bavurai, that everything is part of a cheshbon. We're not always privy to what that cheshbon is. We're too close to the canvas. But there is comfort in knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Rabbi Akiva is saying, look, why did this happen? Why is there a Churban? We don't know. But at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world with a cheshbon, with some majestic plan. And I'll give you an example, says Rabbi Akiva, that even 36 years ago, when I was running away and the sun was meant to set at 6 p.m., instead it sets at 4 p.m., so it was done out of 2 hours of lighting, HaKadosh Baruch Hu compensates the sun that 36 years later, instead of rising at 6 a.m., it will rise at 4 a.m. It will be compensated for those 2 hours of shining. Remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. So you see that Rabbi Akiva is going not to ask a question, but to teach a lesson. Gemara says, for example, that they were so distraught after the Churban that they wanted to make the rules of the 9 days all year round. No meat, no wine, etc., etc. And the Gemara says, Ein gozim gezeirah, yochanin lamu, but it's too onerous, it's too difficult. But that was the mood, that was the feel they were in. That's the point. And therefore, that's why the Gemara in Chulin tells us of all these details that it was a chasna, the Gamliel, the meat market. And Rabbi Akiva, who's Rabbi Yitzchak, why didn't they get an answer from Rabbi Yeshua? The answer is because he wasn't going to ask the question. He was going to teach them and to give them chizuk. So he couldn't wait until they get to the Beis HaMedrash. That perhaps is a very important yesod principle to internalize in these very difficult times. Our Emunah is challenged. How could it be that such a devastating thing can spiral all over the world? One way to bolster our Emunah is to recognize that we are too close to the canvas. Imagine you go to the beautiful art gallery and you stand up close with your nose a quarter of an inch away from the canvas. You're going to look at it and think, I don't get this. What's so special about it? But if you suddenly take 10 steps back and you see the most magnificent painting, wow, but we're too close to the canvas. The Medrash tells us that when Rabbi Akiva was being taught there, Malachim said, Zu Torah v'zu Schara, this is the reward for Torah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Shetai Island, I will turn the world back to Torah v'avayim. Most people understand that and I'll destroy the world. Rabbi Pinchas Roberts, once said the following pshat. It doesn't mean he'll just destroy the world. If you want to understand what is going on, you've got to rewind the video, you've got to rewind the movie back, all the way back to the days of Tohu Bavohu, to the pre-existence of the world, as it were, to understand my machinations. It's too soon, you're too close to the canvas. And therefore, Shosait, otherwise I'll have to destroy the world, I will have to take you back to the world at the very beginning, and then you'll see the movie all the way through, and then there'll be an understanding. You watch a movie all of a sudden, and you see one clip, then it doesn't make sense. What did he do to deserve that? Because you only see it in 10 seconds. You don't understand the full picture. You know, years ago, there was, I remember hearing this story. It's a remarkable story. There was a lady, she was a secular Jew, who lived in Israel. This was in the late 1950s, early 1960s. In Bnei Brak, and she unfortunately got run over and she lost her life. Now, this was a time where there was the terrible autopsy scandal. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it was a very dark and difficult chapter in Jewish history. And bodies were taken without their consent, and they would harvest organs, and it was a big scandal at the time. It was a very difficult time. And this lady, she had no family members. The neighbor, took care of the body and they were going to bury her. But the police came along and said, no, we need to take her to the hospital, etc. And they didn't want to release the body. It was a sakana, there was a very real danger that they might mutilate the body, harvest organs, etc. Refused to release the body. So then more police came. And you can imagine when the word got out, more yeshiva bachrim came, and it became this massive standoff. And more police came, and then the press, and then more yeshiva bachrim came, and things became escalated very quickly. And eventually, after a day or two, they managed to resolve it somehow, and become such a cause to celebrate, such a huge event, that there was a massive levaya. There was a huge levaya, and all the Rosh Hashivas and all the Rebbes in Bnei Brak and the Yeshiva Bochrim and the Chassid, everyone was there at this massive Levaya. After the Levaya, a man went over to the stipler, famous stipler Gaon, and said, I don't understand it. This is the most unbelievable Levaya I've ever seen. How can it be a secular lady from Cholon, who no one knows, how can she merit it to have such a grand to have a final journey in such a mechubad way? The stipler said, I was worried about the same thing myself. I was thinking about it. And I discussed it with my wife. And my wife told me something amazing. She said she remembered this person. That before the war, she used to live in Minsk, I think it was. And this lady was a frum person. Never the trauma of the war years affected her, which is, of course, understandable. And when she was in Meritos during the war years, this lady on many occasions risked her life when people unfortunately were dying on the streets that she went out and she gave him Kfuras Yisrael and she dug into the ground with her own hands. Perhaps, said the Stipler, this was her schar. But midah keneged midah, it was only appropriate that she has a proper Kfuras Yisrael in such a respectable way. Who knows? But the point of the story is this. We are so close to the canvas, we cannot understand. You see one incident, you don't understand. You zoom out a little bit more, then suddenly more things fall into place. Not that we ever know the real reasons. We've got to be our Kodesh Baruch Hu to understand. You know, when I was a kid growing up, there was an advert for the Guardian newspaper. It was a very clever advert. It was a picture of this thug, this very vicious-looking person, and he was running towards an old lady, a very sweet old lady, who was holding a handbag, and you thought to yourself, oh boy, this is terrible. She's going to be mugged. He's going to suddenly grab the handbag from her. So what happened? The video was focused on this guy, and this vicious-looking thug was running at pace towards this old lady, and then all of a sudden, the picture, the focus zoomed out, and you saw a much bigger picture, and you saw there was a building site in the back. And there was a big crane, and there was this massive block of cement that had become loose. And suddenly this block of cement had come down and was going to land on this old lady. It was falling, and suddenly this thug ran over, pushed her to the side, and saved her life. And the caption was, at the Guardian, we show you the full picture. So a clever advert, but that's the point. We are too close to the canvas. I thought that it would be appropriate to share some practical ideas and tips. We're now entering a period which no one really knows what's in store. No one really knows how long this is going to last for. So let me just share with you some tips. Again, who am I? But some thoughts which I'm thinking about, which perhaps I can share with you. The Gemara says in Talmud Daf Zayin, Reish Lakish Amar, Im ro'isa Talmid shelemudei kosher alof kaparzel. If a person sees that he is struggling, that his learning is not going well, says the Gemara in Tanis, Bishvul Mishnoso She'ina Sudura Olav. It's because of his learning which is not Masuda. There's no Seder. You see from this Gemara that if you want to succeed at something, there needs to be Seder, there needs to be structure, and there needs to be planning. And I think that's critically important when we're about to enter this new reality. Rabbi Levine has set up this amazing program. That's certainly structure. But to have a program, a plan, and I said to the boys in school and the girls as well, we're now entering a new reality. In 6 months' time, please God, this will pass, and we'll look back at it, and we'll think to ourselves, how did I respond to this very difficult period? Just think forward a few decades, you'll please God tell your children, grandchildren, eventually, Mr. Shem, one day, they'll say to you, were you around in March 2020? What was life then? You were self-isolating? Tell me about that. That sounds so strange. You were exposed to someone who had it? What does that mean? Talk me through it. How did you cope being alone altogether, the family, for such extended periods of time? Didn't you go mad? How does that work? So there are girls who will respond differently. Because for some people, the next few weeks and months will be a disaster. With Tzad Ruchni, they'll fall. And for some, they will thrive and grow. It is all depends on your planning and your structure and your attitude and your perspective. It's important. Tefillah is critical. To get up and to make sure you find the time to daven shachris. Of course, a minion is not a possibility anymore. But to try and daven at a time when the other people are davening, maybe, when a shul is normally, there's a halacha that if you can't make a minyan, you should at least daven at the same time. Is that shul maybe davening? But either way, to plan, to daven a bit more leisurely, a bit more slowly, to dress appropriately when one does daven. And the important thing is to keep siddurim and learning commitments. So for you, there's an online virtual sem. You're very fortunate. You've got two amazing shurim every single day. You've got other learning programs. You've got chavrusas. Technology is there to help us in this respect. Other practical tips, which are seemingly obvious, but I think it's worth mentioning. One is to exercise. Exercise is good, aside from the physical benefits, but just the mental benefits. If you're fortunate enough to have a treadmill, an exercise bike, use it. Go on half an hour a day, whatever it may be. And you can be very innovative about it. I know in our own home, they're talking about Zumba classes, just with the girls and the family, or whatever it may be. There's lots of opportunities, table tennis competitions. Your dining room table can be very, very versatile. Another thing to think about is to eat sensibly. Yeah, it's very tempting when you're at home and comfort foods are very easy. So just to eat, a bit more carefully and sensibly, and to bear that in mind. Another aspect, excuse me, I made a bracha earlier, so don't think I'm not making a bracha. Another important point is to set limits on screen time. And I'll tell you what I mean. I saw about a week ago, someone had a coronavirus count that he had some sort of screen save, but it was sort of up, it was like a ticking increase. Every time a person tested positive, he was told about it. Now, it's important to keep up with the news, but to have information overload, where you're constantly hearing information and news, which unfortunately is not particularly positive, is not always so helpful. It can be very draining. It can be depressing. And therefore, to limit your screen time, you can do other things. It depends on your situation, but even to go for a walk in the park, if you're allowed to, even if you're self-isolating, if you keep away from everybody, apparently medical advice is to do that if you're away from everybody, or to sit in the garden, to get a bit of fresh air is also very important. Another thing is staying Tehillim. Tehillim is something which people find very hard to connect to. But if ever there was a time, now is a good time to start saying Tehillim for a few minutes every day, after Shacharis, before Shacharis, whatever it may be. It's an opportunity. Life is about opportunities. We've suddenly all of a sudden got so much time on our hands. It's an opportunity to read those books you never got around to reading. I have a pile of books that I've always wanted to read. Last Friday night, we were already self-isolating. I managed to get through half a book that I've been wanting to read for years. This is an opportunity for chesed. People are looking at people who can get out, and there are people who can't get out. If a person can get out safely, and can offer to do shopping for those family members, neighbors, whoever, who are unable to get out, now's the time. There are lots of family members, there are older people who are nervous, who are worried. Pesach is not far away. They're worried about Pesach orders. They're worried about general provisions. This is an opportunity for amazing chesed. And I think one more practical tip. And this is an important tip. You may have received a WhatsApp from Rabbi Elimelech Bidman. And he says, he quoted Ben Yehoyada, in Baba Kama. There is an unbelievable Ben Yehoyada in Baba Kama. It's critically important to stay calm and to stay positive. Listen to this Ben Yehoyada. If you've got the sheet in front of you, then great. If not, I will read through it. I think it's going to be uploaded later. You can always email me on j.golker@gmail.com. Listen to this Ben Yehoyada. The Ben Yehoyada is the Ben Ishchai, one of the great Sephardi giants of the late 19th century. Vada. The Gemara in Baba Kama on Daf Samach on the base talks about when there's a plague in town. And the Gemara says that Knes Raglecho, just either run away or don't be exposed to this plague. Avo b'choli ha-cholera, it was some sort of cholera epidemic. Afilu im nischazek ha-choli be'ir, tov she'yivrach. If there is some sort of epidemic in town, tov she'yivrach. If you can run away, better. Of course, that's not an option for us. Where are you going to run? Locking yourself in the city is not effective, he said. Ya'an, yazik ha-pachad ha-pachad because the biggest concern is not so much the physical danger, but the emotional or the mental danger of fear and of panic and of depression. The doctor said an amazing moshel. Pam achas, one time there was some sort of epidemic. But one time a person met the malach who was in charge of this illness. He said to the malach in charge of this epidemic, how many neshamas, how many nefashas do you want to take? How many people are going to succumb to this illness? Va'amar chamisha alofim, 5,000. V'seif hadavar meisu ba'isoheh tesvav alofim ba'isacholi. And it turned out that 15,000 died from this illness. So the man went back to the malach who was in charge of the illness. You said you're only going to take 5,000 souls and you took 15,000. And you responded, he said, I didn't lie. I only took 5,000 souls with my sword, with this epidemic. And the other 10,000 died because of pachad and because of panic and anxiety and depression, which this illness brought about to the city. That's the Atkan the Moshel. Lahudia, says the Ben Yehoyada. Panic and anxiety can be as damaging as the physical illness. That's why he said, better to run away. Not because you're escaping the physical illness only, but because you're escaping the news, you're escaping the mental anguish that this can cause. Because that will cause a person to feel anxious. And then that sort of breaks his sort of emotional immunity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take away all these gezeiros koshes, etc. Those are the words of the Ben Yehoyada, which I think are so pertinent to our time. Let me add a few more points. Another practical tip. You know, the world is made up of two types of people, radiators and drains. What does that mean? There are some people who sort of sap energy, they drain, and there are some people who radiate positivity and exuberance. And I think in a time like this, that is so important, to recognize the good in any situation. The world may be sort of shifting so rapidly, and it may be very depressing and very difficult, but there is so much good. And the more we recognize the good, the more important that is for us. You know, I'll tell you something personal. On Wednesday night, it was the last Maariv in Hendon Hadass. So the email went out that there was going to be Maariv and the shul is closing at 8:30. So I was there for that Maariv. And after I davened Maariv, we walked out, I was talking to one or two people, and I was driving home and I thought to myself, I didn't say goodbye properly. I drove back, I turned around the car and I went back into the shul. By that time, the shul was empty, it was 8:25, they hadn't yet locked up. And I thought to myself, this is a shul that has been going for 75 plus years. I don't think it's Mr. Minyan, forget a day of Talmud Torah and a day of davening, but I don't think they've been missing a minyan. It's vibrant, Baruch Hashem, many minyanim every day. And now I'm standing in an empty shul, and that shul is going to be closed. It's going to be empty. The cult filler, the cult Torah is gone. And it's not the only shul. There are thousands of shuls across the Jewish world where, of course, it's going to be the same silence. But I walked up to the Aron HaKodesh for a few moments of thought. Had I fully appreciated that I had a shul like that? That I had a shul that I could go to with minyanim, and with fixed minyan, with limud Torah, with shiurim, with people, what wouldn't we do to go daven a Kabbalah Shabbos again, to daven a minyan, to hear a Kaddish, to hear a Kedusha? Do we appreciate all the good in our lives? There's a great story Rabbi Hanan Yecholak tells, that Rabbi Hanan Yecholak set up the amazing organization called Ezer Metzion, an unbelievable chesed organization in Israel. And one time he had a meeting late at night with a philanthropist who funded a lot of his great work. And late at night, 1 o'clock in the morning, this philanthropist was American. He was going back to America early the next day. So Hanan Yecholak said to him, tell me, have you been to the Kotel yet? He said, no. He goes, have you done Maariv? He said, no. So great, let's go now to the Kotel. So 1 o'clock in the morning, they make their way to the old city. And they're going to daven Ma'ariv at the Kotel. And as they approach the wall, they see a man standing there, davening like they've never seen anyone daven before, pouring out his heart to the Rebbeinu Shlom, crying. So Rabbi Hananya Chalak said to his philanthropist friend, he said, you know, I don't know what this person's problem is, but if it's financial, maybe you think you could help him. Pleasure. He says, because if it's medical or anything, any chesed that he needs, you know, I'm happy to help and do whatever I can. The guy eventually stopped davening. He walked away from the wall, and Rabbi Hananya Chalak and his friend approached him and said, tell me, Rabbi, is everything okay? So the guy said, yeah. So they said, well, permit me for intruding, but we noticed you were davening. You know, I've never seen anyone daven like this. Can we help you in any way? He said, no, everything's fine. He said, look, maybe you don't know who we are. My name is Hananya Chalak. I run Ezer Mitzion. If there's any medical issue, I can do whatever I can. I've got great contact. No, it's fine. Is it financial? My friend here is a very big bald stock. He'll happily help you. He said, no. So he said, permit me to ask you. He said, you're here at 1:30 in the morning crying. Is everything okay? So the guy said, I'll tell you why I'm here. He said, tonight, my wife and I married off our 10th and youngest child. And I just came to say thank you. Isn't that amazing? I just came to say thank you. There are so many things which you have to say thank you for. We don't have the nature of life is that sometimes we only appreciate things when they're not there. But the avoda perhaps is to try and appreciate all the chesed, the good. We have got a home to isolate in. There is food there. We have got an online share. We're together virtually. There's so much chesed and there's so much wonderful things which is out there. Two more final points. There is a famous, there is a letter that went out, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Zozayin Gezunt. He tried to write some things to give chizuk to people. And one of the things he said is that we should try and focus a little bit more to strengthen ourselves in the area of Lashon Hara. Why? Because everyone is self-isolating. Bodod Yeshev is the consequence of the person who has Soras. He should sort of self-isolate away from the whole community. And perhaps that's a hint to us, says Reb Chaim Kanievsky, that we should strengthen ourselves. We're not Nevi'im, we don't know for sure. But perhaps we should always look inwards and not outwards, and we can try and strengthen ourselves in various areas. And he suggested this is one of the areas. Self-isolation. Bodod Yeshev, a person gets Soras, he has to sit chutz l'machane. The Imri Emes asked an amazing question. It says the Imri Emes, imagine the scene. A person has Soras. He's got some sort of affliction on his hand. He goes to the Kohen. He says, am I Tomei or am I Toha? The Kohen will look at it. He says, it's a sofek. Go sit chutz l'machane. Come back in a week's time. If this nega, this affliction has spread, you'll be Tomei. And if not, you'll be Toha. So he goes out. He sits for a week. And after a week, he comes back. The Kohen looks at it. You're Toha. Fine. We're familiar with that. Imagine that in the 21st century. In today's litigious society, the person will say that's a miscarriage of justice. I wasn't Tommy. I had to sit outside, go away from my family, or wait, close my business for a week, have the public humiliation of everyone knows that I'm got Tzaras, and it wasn't true. I was Toher. How can you explain that? Says the Imri Emes, the third Gera Rebbe, an amazing, amazing God. He says this. Sometimes you're punished for Lashon Hara, for the bad that you spoke. But you're also punished for the good that you didn't speak. When a person is a confirmed Metzora, that's because perhaps he spoke Lashon Hara, the bad he spoke. But he may have had to go through a process of sitting outside Bodod Yeshev, Chutz L'machane, for 1 week, not for the bad that he spoke, but for the good that he didn't speak. Speaking positive and building and helping a person is really part of Bodod Yeshev. Lashon Hara, Ra, is an expression of Ra'ua, which means it breaks, it disjoints. Toiv is Lashon of Kiyum. It's meant to build and connect. That's what our speech should be. Beryl Wine tells the story, a remarkable story, that he was once in Midwest America, he was giving a lecture series. And one evening, late at night, after he gave a shiur, he went to a certain diner, a deli, to have some supper. And he went in there and he noticed the guy slicing the salt beef at the end of the aisle. He remembered him from his yeshiva days. So he went over to him and he says, Moshe, is that you? He said, yeah, Beryl, I remember you. So Beryl Wine couldn't hold himself back. He says, Moshe, how, is this your delicatessen? Is this your restaurant? He said, no, I just sliced the meat here. Beryl Wine said to him, Moshe, this is laudable that you have an honest occupation. But we thought in yeshiva that you were going to be the next Rosh Hashiva. You were the up-and-coming giant of the Torah world. They said about you, you're going to be the next Rav Aaron Kotler. This Moshe looked at him and he said, really? They said that about me? So why didn't they tell me? It's a painful story, but it brings home the importance of a good word, of a kind word, of how you can use dibur to build. One final thing. On the sheet, you can see I've got an extract. Again, it was an email I received from someone, I don't know, it's quoting Rabbi Moss in Israel, I do not know who that is. But he says a few lines, which I'd like to share with you in case you haven't seen it, which I think it spoke to me, and I think it's very powerful. This is what he says. The coronavirus has really thrown me. I feel like I've lost all sense of certainty. No one knows what happens next. How do we stay sane when we don't know what is lurking around the corner? The answer is, it is not that we have lost our sense of certainty. We have lost our illusion of certainty. We never had it to begin with. This could be majorly unsettling or amazingly liberating. This tiny virus of 125 nanometers has sent the entire world into chaos. All of our plans are up in the air. Markets have gone crazy. Entire countries shutting down. We have no clue what the future holds. But that is always the case. We never know what the future holds. We only think we do. And keep getting surprised when things don't pan out the way expected. Now the mask is off. We have to admit vulnerability. What will happen next? We don't know. Our experts don't know. Our leaders don't know. Only Hashem knows. And that is the point. Close your eyes and feel the uncertainty. Make peace with it. Let yourself be taken by it. Embrace your cluelessness. Because in all this confusion, there is one thing you know for sure. You are in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. Keep calm. Panic and fear are also contagious. Take every precaution as advised by health authorities. Wash your hands well, and every time you do, remember whose hands you are in. So there you have it. Some tips, some ideas, some thoughts regarding this very strange period of time we find ourselves in. But that message of Rabbi Akiva, the message that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, there is a cheshbon to everything. What the cheshbon is, we don't know. We're too close to the canvas to even entertain a guess. But, says Rabbi Akiva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. And we should find comfort in that. Even when people as great as Rabbi Gamliel and Yeshua, who were making the wedding but doing so with a heavy heart, Rabbi Akiva went over to them to give them chizuk and to give them that comfort that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs everything with a cheshbon. And that's really what Rabbi Akiva was trying to do over there. That's who Rabbi Akiva was. We strengthen our emunah by recognizing there is a bigger plan, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing. We discussed some practical tips, which again, you've got on your sheet, so I can send you. And that Ben Yehuda is very powerful, that fear and panic is also contagious, and we have to try and think positively to go in when you're sitting at home, sit down and make sure you say a good joke, a good line, lighten the atmosphere a little bit, just relieve, that's a chesed as well, to take the message of the Imre Emes. The message of Bodod Yeshev is perhaps not only for the bad words that were spoken, but for the lack of good words that were spoken. And to recognize that we have not lost our sense of certainty, we have lost our illusion of certainty. Because really, at the end of the day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world, and now we're facing that with much more of a stark reality. Mitz Hashem, in the Zuchus of the Shir, and the Zuchus of this virtual Sem, and all the amazing things that are being born out of this strange new reality, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should, please God, send refuahs and yeshuahs lanu v'lechol Yisrael and to the whole of mankind.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.